Therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand on the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Hey church, my name is Andrew. I'm one of the pastors here, and a warm welcome to those of you who are new or visiting. Great to have you here this morning. Let's bow our heads and pray and ask God to help us as we open his word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for inspiring all scripture by the Holy Spirit. Help us now by your Spirit so to hear your holy word that we may be equipped for every good work through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I wonder if you can remember back to the Sydney Olympics. Great time to be a Sydney sider. I realize a lot of you weren't born yet. But if you can remember it, it was great. It was fantastic. And as I think back to the Sydney Olympics, my highlight was not Ian Thorpe, as impressive as that was. My highlight was not Kathy Freeman, though she was incredible. My highlight was Eric the Eel. Anyone know who I'm talking about? A few of you might remember. I went and looked at the footage last night, and gee, I haven't felt so old in a long time. I know some of you think I'm young, but as I looked up this footage of Eric the Eel and it was all grainy and crackly, I realized, gee, that was 24 years ago. It's a long time. Eric the Eel, that was his nickname. His name is Eric Musambani, and he's from Equatorial Guinea. And Eric was a swimmer in the Olympics, but he had only learnt to swim 9 months before the Olympics. He'd only ever swum in beaches and rivers, never swum in a swimming pool before the Olympics. And he got up, he was invited to be there at the Olympics through a special program to get poorer countries to participate. He got up, his two other competitors were disqualified, and so Eric was swimming on his own at the Olympics, 17,000 people watching, millions of people on TV. He jumps in. He thrashes about in the pool. His head hardly goes into the water. His arms are going everywhere. At some point in the race, he has to come to a stop. The commentators are genuinely concerned that he's going to drown. He swims the slowest anyone has ever swum in the Olympics. Pretty much all of you would swim faster than what he swam in the Sydney Olympics. And when he got to the end, he was incredibly out of breath. But the crowd went wild. The crowd went wild. People were on their feet, cheering his name, screaming at the top of their voice. It was beautiful to watch. And as he finishes that race, the cameras surround him and he gets interviewed. And after he's caught his breath, he says these words: "In the last 50 meters, to be honest, I was so tired, I was going to stop. I couldn't feel my arms or my legs. Everything was very heavy. But when I heard people clapping, shouting, and cheering my name, that gave me the strength and power to finish. I want to send hugs and kisses to the crowd. It was their cheering that kept me going." That is what encouragement does. That is what encouragement does. It spurs us on. It motivates us to keep going even when we feel like giving up. Encouragement refreshes us. It lifts our spirit. It gives us hope. And so today we're going to take a break in our series in the book of Ephesians. just a one-off break, and we're going to look at this important topic of encouragement. The New Testament is filled with one another commands, because when you're a Christian, you're part of a church, you're part of one another, and there's all these commands to love one another, serve one another, practice hospitality to one another. And one of the commands we're also given is to encourage one another. It's up there on the screen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Or Hebrews 10. It's on the screen. It says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Church, we need encouragement. We need encouragement. All of us need encouragement. And I'd love us as a church to grow to be more and more encouraging. And particularly leading into our weekend away next weekend, a chance to go away together, I'd love us to practice being great encouragers to each other. See, the Christian life is not a short distance sprint. It's a long distance marathon. And God has given us this amazing finish line, eternal life, being with Jesus. But there's going to be moments in the marathon where, just like Eric the eel, our arms get heavy, our legs are tired, we feel like giving up. And as Hebrews says, you see the day approaching, Jesus is coming back, that's the finish line. Keep encouraging one another. We need it. I'm sure there are people here this morning who feel discouraged this week. Life has weighed down on you. Maybe you're filled with fear or anxiety or sadness. We're all going to go through hardships and trials, temptations. Every Christian goes through moments of doubts where we think, is Jesus really worth following? Is this really something I want to live for? Maybe you're here this morning and you feel disheartened as a parent, or discouraged as a worker, or disheartened as a friend. Maybe there's a temptation in your life, a temptation to walk down a path of life that you know God does not approve of, and it looks so attractive and you're so tempted to take it, and you need the encouragement that God's ways are better. Or maybe you feel discouraged just coming to church. Maybe if you're honest, you got up this morning and you thought, should I really come? Will anyone notice if I'm here? Do I really need to be there? Perhaps you haven't read your Bible for a while or just feel discouraged in your faith. Friends, all of us probably fit one of those categories, and that's why we need the encouragement of each other. We need people chanting our name, cheering us on. Even the Apostle Paul needed encouragement. He said this in Romans chapter 1. It's on the screen. He said, "I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." Even the Apostle Paul, of course, he's encouraging others, but he needs encouragement himself. We all do. Here's the problem. I think often as Australians, we're not great encouragers. We're so used to putting each other down or making jokes about each other. We are often used to spotting flaws, complaining, whining. And we can bring it into church if we're honest. We bring the whining, we bring the complaining into church. I would love to see us as a church get better and better at being an encouraging church. One writer says, encouragement is like oxygen in the life of a church. It keeps hearts beating, minds clear, and hands inspired to serve. I got to say, I want to be a better encourager. I'm not claiming I'm great at this. This is something I want to practice and do better at. And so what I want us to do this morning is just think practically. How can we be better encouragers? How can we be better encouragers? I've got 7 points. They're in no particular order. But let's just get practical. How can we be better encouragers? Here's the first one. Pray. Pray. Ask God that he would make you a better encourager. That is a great place to start. Ask God that he'd give you a heart that longs to build people up. On the way to church or in the car or on the way to Connect Group, ask God to show you who you can encourage, who you can lift up who's feeling burdened, who you can pray with who's suffering, who you can point to Jesus. Ask God to show you who you can make a meal for or who you can care for practically, who you can sit with and comfort after church. Pray and ask God to show you who you can encourage. And encourage others by praying for them. You know, I think one of the best ways we can encourage each other is by praying for each other. You're speaking to someone after church, they share what's going on in their life, a little challenge at work or whatever it might be. Actually stop and say, can I pray for you now? I think we're used to saying, I'll pray for you sometime later in the week. But can I pray for you now? Pray for them now. That is so encouraging for people. And throughout the week, as you pray for your brothers and sisters and you bring their needs before God, remind them that you're praying for them. It's so encouraging. I'm sure you might have experienced it before, where you're going through a hard time and you know there are people from church praying for you and bringing your burdens before God. I came across this really great book just a few months ago. It's by Nancy Guthrie. Everything she writes is brilliant. And she's got this new book called I'm Praying For You. I'm Praying For You. She gives 40 little chapters. Each chapter gives a Bible passage and a prayer to pray for someone at church who's struggling. And it even gives you a little suggestion about an encouraging text you can send to that person. Great resource. Recommend you can get it. Just helps you pray for each other and encourage each other as a church. That's the first one, pray. Number two, how can we be better encouragers? Remind each other of God's word. Remind each other of God's word. I think in the moments of discouragement, when you are feeling flat, drained, it's in those moments that we can lose sight of who God is. Lose sight of the wonder of God's word. But the Bible is there for our encouragement. Romans 15, verse 4 says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. The scriptures are there for our encouragement to give us hope. I read this great definition of encouragement by Lindsay Carlson. She says this, Christian encouragement provides God's promises to God's people in order to help us endure with our hope set on Christ. It's a good one. Christian encouragement provides God's promises to God's people in order to help us endure with our hope set on Christ. We can encourage others by reminding them of God's promises and helping them reach that finish line. Think about the promises that are in the Bible to you. That God made you. That he loves you. That you matter to him. That even though you've sinned and failed, he gave up his son for you to rescue you and save you. that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, not even sickness, famine, cancer, or even death. Nothing can separate you. That as you go through the worst moments of your life, he is with you in the darkest valley. That Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. And the promise that one day when Jesus returns, there will be no more death, no more suffering, no more crying, no more pain. These things of the past are gone forever. Could there be any better promises to give us hope and to give us encouragement? And I know there's times in my life where I've been in a hard moment and someone has sent me a Bible verse. And it's exactly what I needed to read. You ever experienced that before? God placed that person in my life to give me the exact thing I needed to read, the exact promise I needed to hear. You see how this is different from the way often people encourage who don't know Jesus? You read the self-help books, and the encouragement the self-help books provide are things like, you can do it. Believe in yourself. You've got this. Now, that is motivating to some degree, those kind of self-help gurus. That's the world's version of encouragement. You can do it. High five. Go and get them. You know what, though? There are times when we can't do it. There are times when the battle that we're facing is just so big that we really don't have it. We can't do it. Our strength is gone. In those moments, we need more than just the empty self-guru encouragement, self-help guru encouragement. We need the promises of God. His strength, his promises, his word, his wisdom, not flattery and praise. You see, when we're talking about encouragement, we're not talking about saying to each other, you're awesome, you're brilliant, you've got this in the bag. We're pointing people to the beautiful promises of God. I love Deuteronomy 31. Moses is encouraging Joshua to go into the promised land. And the way he encourages Joshua to go is not by saying, Joshua, you got this in the bag. Think about all the other battles that you've won in the past. Think about how strong and impressive you are. You can do it, mate. This is easy. Now, what does he say? Be strong and courageous, for you must go with the people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. We encourage each other by pointing to the promises of God. Number three, we want to be good encouragers. We need to use our words to build up and not tear down. Use our words to build up and not tear down. We heard last week from Ephesians 4, verse 29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. How would you react if I told you I had obtained a secret recording of everything you've said in the past week? Everything that you've said to your friend, to your boss, if you're married, to your husband or wife, to your kids. Even the things you muttered under your breath, you thought no one else would hear. And how would you react if I said I was about to play that recording on the loudspeakers right now? My guess is there would be stuff in there that you would be ashamed of. Now, it is beautiful that for every careless word we've said, we're forgiven through Christ. And we're called to every word we say, to not use it to tear down, because words can be so powerful. They can bring destruction, they can bring condemnation, they can bring pain. But to use our words to build up, now that is such a mindset shift. Every time you're wondering whether you should send off that email, send off that angry text, comment on that thing, just stop and ask yourself, are these words going to build up, encourage, bring life, or are they going to tear down? Number four, if we want to grow in encouragement, we can point out how God has been at work through others. Point out how God has been at work through others. One writer says that encouragement is pointing out the grace of God in the life of others. And I think that's true. It's encouraging people by showing them, not by just saying you're awesome, but by showing them the way God is at work in them and through them. Actually saying to someone, I'm so encouraged by the way God is using you, welcoming people after church. I see the way you're so selfless and you sit with those you don't know and you helped that person last week, and I'm so thankful for the way God is using you to love others here. Comments like that I want to grow in, showing people how God is at work through them. And can I encourage you to be specific? Actually name it to people. Encourage your Connect group leaders. Encourage your kids leaders. For those of you who are serving in ministry, there is nothing more encouraging than hearing how God has used you. I'm always thankful when someone says, great sermon, but what I really care about is someone telling me how God worked through me, how God challenged someone or grew someone or had a word through the scriptures that they needed to hear. That is the most encouraging thing, hearing how God has used you. And can I say, if you're here and someone ever encourages you like this, they come and say how God has used you in their life, don't brush it off. Don't say, oh yeah, it was nothing, you know, anyone would have done it. Humbly receive it, humbly say thank you and give the glory to God. Maybe after church today, you could take a minute and send a text to someone, a brother or sister here at church, and thank them for the way God has used them in your life. Number five, want to be encouraging? Remember your example. Remember your example, because it's not just the words we say, it's the life that we live. And the scary reality is this, and this is terrifying, people are watching you. People are watching you. They're watching your life. They're watching how you live. They're watching your example. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Each of us have influence. You may not feel like you do, but you do. Some of my most encouraging times in church is when I just look across and I see someone belting out the songs in worship. And they have no idea that they've encouraged me, but they have. But when I see someone serving in church, even in just small, humble ways, and I don't think anyone else notices, but people do. And we don't do it for people's attention, do we? We don't do it for the thanks. But the reality is that as we live, we are influencers. And who knows, as you parent your child, as you battle that tricky work situation, as you bear with your mental illness and seek to be faithful to Jesus with that, as you suffer, who knows who you may encourage just in the way that you faithfully live for Christ. Number six, if we want to be encouragers, just turn up. just turn up. That's what Hebrews 10 says. It says that if we want to encourage people, just turn up to church. Hebrews 10, I'll read it again, says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. In the last few months in the book of Ephesians, we've talked about this beautiful thing called the church. It is not an optional extra for a Christian. It is a beautiful reality for every Christian. The church is a gift to us. It is God's beautiful creation. We've talked about that. And one of the things that we've seen is that even just by not coming, you can discourage others. But by coming, you can encourage others in wonderful ways. Now, we're a church of grace, and there are times when you're unable to come to church for sicknesses or whatever it might be. But I hope you know that when you don't come, people miss you, because we are a family. We're like runners together in the marathon, running together side by side, fixing our eyes on Jesus together, spurring each other on. And lastly, number 7. Let's encourage each other in obedience. Encourage each other to obey God and to resist sin. Hebrews chapter 3 says, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. The devil is always there, wanting to tempt us to give up on Jesus, wanting to discourage us. But that passage says, encourage each other daily so that you are not hardened by sin. Sin wants to deceive. It lies to us and says it'll be better if we don't follow God. But God's ways are the best ways. And let's encourage each other to keep throwing off our old self and putting on this new identity Jesus has given us. I want to encourage you to do this intentionally. I'll share one thing I do. It's not the only way to do it. But every fortnight, I meet with two other Christian men, friends of mine. And we are intentional then, not just to catch up, but to encourage each other so that we may not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We pray for each other. We're honest about our lives, our marriages, our finances, our time in the Word, our fight against sin. We've given each other permission to ask each other the hard questions that no one else asks. And when we fail, we point each other back to the gospel and the wonderful news of God's love and grace. Because sin thrives in the dark. Let's bring it to the light. And I wonder if you have people like this in your life, in church, who you can be intentional with and encourage each other in your fight against sin. You can do it in your connect groups. You can do it in casual ways after church. But let's live that verse out. So, friends, let's be great encouragers. You know, for some of us, as I think about our church family here this morning, some of us are gifted at this, especially gifted. You have the gift, the spiritual gift of encouragement, and you just refresh people constantly and build people up, and I'm so thankful for you. For others of us, we may not have the gift, and it may not come as naturally, but we're still called to do it. It might take a bit of work. It might actually take a bit of practice. And it might just be starting small with tiny little comments or tiny little acts of service. But we're spurring each other on to reach the finish line. so that we can keep trusting Jesus and receive that crown of eternal life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray you would put names and faces before us right now. Names and faces of people who need the kindness and grace that you alone can bring. Would you show us people who might need a text, a call, a hug, a visit, or some deep listening? Show us people we can thank. Show us people we can encourage by pointing to your work in them and through them. Show us people we can warn against the deceitfulness of sin and point back to your wonderful love. Together, help us to be people who encourage one another. And we thank you that we do this because you, God, are the God of all encouragement. You, God, are the God of all hope. And so we pray this in your name. Amen.